present members of council. I'll try to bring you up to date on actions taken in the legislature since the last time we spoke on the 28th of June. As you know, they've adjourned as of the 30th of June, actually July 1st, in the wee hours. They've adjourned until January. All bills that were not addressed or not finished as of this July 1 will be revisited again in January, which will be the second half of the 146th General Assembly. The report that I gave you highlights bills that we were watching during the season. Some I'll go back and give you some latest updates. House Bill 152 on page 1 is a bill that we had introduced that would assist us in complying with state regulations as far as our county assessors are concerned. There's a hearing going on right now that I had intended to go to, but didn't realize that it was a council day. I forgot when I told you that. But anyway, two of our staffers, Eddie Parker and Chris Keeler, are in attendance at this meeting of the Delaware Council of Real Estate Appraisers. The purpose for their meeting today is to try and finalize their new regulations that we will be required to comply with, and that set of regulations is likely to be adopted when the General Assembly reconvenes in January. If so, we will then need to decide whether to continue to pursue this bill, House Bill 152, or whether we will comply with the new regulations. I thought it best to see what the regulations are before we decide whether to oppose or to comply with that, or how to recommend you might consider that. On page 2, House Substitute 1 for House Bill 101 is a bill that gave us a lot of concern because it required a number of traffic impact studies and analysis by DLDOT for all new housing developments and all new subdivisions. This bill ran into a lot of opposition from a number of other local jurisdictions, and the latest that I can tell you is that there's been a new bill introduced, House Bill 220, which I have not given you a copy of because all counties that are to be in compliance must have at least 500,000 residents, which would be only Newcastle County. So the new bill only addresses traffic problems in Newcastle County, which was really the impetus for the legislation in the first place. So I think we're relatively out of the woods on that one. Dropping to the bottom of page 2, Senate Bill 64 was passed by both houses of the General Assembly as late as the 30th of June with some amendments. As you remember, you had given me instructions on the 28th to change our position from no opposition to at least questioning the definition in the bill of the word hardship. I did convey those questions. We were able to get the five of our Sussex County State Representatives to vote against the bill, but the bill passed in any event, partially because I was addressing the bill very late in the game. Since they were been through the Senate, it was over in the House, and they were going to vote on it that day, it was difficult for me to convince more legislators to give us some more time. So the bill has not been signed by the governor yet, but it does have two amendments, and I think you've already seen the amendments in your package back in June. I gave you a copy of how the amendments changed the bill, and we studied from that on the 28th. Now, I'm told, still your question remains of hardship, I'm told by David Small from DENREC that the word hardship would be defined by us. We would decide what is a hardship, and if we felt that some particular provision of this bill created a hardship, we would be the sole determinant in that. So we would determine whether or not it's a hardship. So we'll see how that goes.
In writing somewhere.
Well, I think what he was implying is that since it's not defined how you define a hardship, that then it would be up to us. Again, the bill hasn't been signed by the governor, but I do expect that to happen. As of this morning, it still had not received his signature. On page 3, a couple of bills I'd like to bring you up to date on. There's been some changes to House Bill 143. There was an amendment in the House, and there was also a new bill written, House Substitute 1 for 143. It's been passed by both chambers of the legislature, and it's awaiting the governor's signature. This bill will add a $15 fee on all fines, all criminal fines, which will then create a pool of money to be used to help deter crime. The money will be dispersed to the Delaware State Police as well as local police departments, and it could accumulate over $4 million a year based on current estimates that would go into improving the police departments that are responsible for those crimes.
Just another way to raise taxes.
Well, at least it's taxing those, your user fee. It's taxing those who are perpetrating the infractions of the law. So it is a user's fee in that regard. Senate Bill 126 received an amendment, and also the governor signed it on the 5th of July. This is the bill that removes the governor's advisory council from our planning process. We supported this bill, and I think it will reduce some of the planning and zoning department's burden at the time of reviewing and updating our comp plan. The next bill on my list, Senate Bill 138, also received an amendment in the Senate, and this bill has changed our comprehensive plan term from 5 years to 10. We will now be reviewing and updating our comprehensive plan once every 10 years after we do the next one. And on the five-year date, we'll simply do a read-through and an analysis in-house, sending it to the state planning office and then also to the governor's office. That bill, as a matter of fact, was signed by the governor last Wednesday, the 13th.
Does the public have any input on this read-through?
Excuse me?
Does the public have any input on the read-through process?
They can through you, but actually the read-through would be done internally by our staff. Mm-hmm. In other words, really what our staff would do is simply read through our comprehensive plan and compare it to the last 5 years of business that this government has been conducting, and then write in a letter whether or not our comprehensive plan is still applicable to the trends that we're seeing and the subdivision approvals that we're awarding. So it's just a matter of evaluating whether or not our comp plan is still effective in governing our land use issues. So it's not a complete update.
Hal, with this, our comp plan, I think, was supposed to be...
It's due again in 13, 13? I believe. Yes, sir.
13. Is that still 2013?
Yes.
So the
yes.
next one is done, and then it's 10 years after that?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So 2013 and then 5 years later?
Are you sure on that, Hal? I thought we had to do the five-year update, which we would report to the council on.
Right.
But my understanding is to have the public hearings and really
right.
make a change in the plan. We're not required to do that for
Till
10
18.
Years, which would be 18, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're probably to get from somebody that...
Well, the way I understood it was that the next review and update, that is going to reset the clock for everybody. That's how I understood the bill, but maybe I was mistaken.
Okay.
I guess a land use planner would be in on that mm-hmm. when we
yes.
get one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another bill that I wanted to bring your attention to, Senate Substitute 1 for Senate Bill 156. This is the new version of the dog bill. It's smaller than House Bill 60, which was many months ago, but it's aimed at some of the same issues. The new substitute version adds protection for dogs housed outdoors during winter months and during extreme weather events. It also adds restrictions regarding tethering of dogs. Finally, it requires outdoor dogs to have water available in spill-proof water receptacles. This is very similar to the House Bill 60 that we opposed earlier in the session, and I would imagine that since this is more of the same, we will probably oppose that, but I don't really need to address it until January.
Right.
So you have several months to think about it. And also, our State Representative Dan Short from Seaford has introduced House Resolution 25, and this bill is one we're going to work with Representative Short on this fall because it will set up a House resolution to establish a task force to examine the issue of manufactured housing delinquent taxes. I believe we'll see added support from other areas in the county as well as some in Kent County. And that pretty much wraps up my report for the end of the session.
Any questions, Mr. Godwin?
Well, I don't understand how we are responsible for animal dog control, but the state keeps changing the laws that we have to go under. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Dog licensing was given to us year and a half ago from the state, even though we resisted that because it was a considerable cost to our budget.
Right.
Now, most of your opposition has come from the fact that since they gave us dog licensing and the cost to go with it, now they're trying to add on more work, which will essentially increase our cost. That's been the position that I've represented from you with these dog bills, because they're essentially, now that they've delegated the responsibility to us, they now want to increase our responsibilities or our burden, our workload, our cost. So that's been my opposition, is that they're increasing the unfunded mandate.
Well, I don't think it was the responsibility to legislate terms right here in our county.
I mean, absolutely. I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more questions, Mr. Godwin?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Gina Jennings, accounting director.
Here she is.
Here she
Gina
is.
Gina Jennings.
First thing is federal payment in lieu of taxes.
Yes.
A check in the amount of $38,898 has been received from the United States Department of Interior Fish and Wildlife Service. As a payment in lieu of taxes for Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge, the check represents payment under the Refuge Revenue Sharing Act of 2010. The Sussex County may use these funds as any government purpose. The recommendation is to allocate these funds in the same percentage as the county tax collections as the county has done in the past. The calculated allocation was found in your council packet.
Any questions, Mrs. Jennings?
Is that typical of what they've paid in the past, or is that same? It's the same rate, right?
It does decrease every year.
What does increase? There is an increase.
Okay. It's a decrease.
Oh, decrease.
Yeah, it keeps going down.
It's just a stipend, basically.
Yeah, it's through Senate appropriations, and they only fund a certain percentage of what is collected, and it was 70% of what we should be getting. We should be getting about $145,000. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Sorry, Ms. Phillips.
Is a vote required?
Do we need a motion to do this, or just?
I have a motion.
Okay.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the recommended distribution of the Refuge revenue sharing as follows: Milford School District $7,633.48, Cape and Lopin School District $23,328.86, Sussex Tech High School $2,973.09, Library Tax $520.79, and Sussex County $4,441.78.
Entertain a motion from council.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion?
Would it be just an exercise in futility to write our Senate and congressional delegations requesting that they work on getting us the full amount? It sounds like the schools are the ones that are going to get shortchanged on this.
Yeah, it's all the federal lands under the Wild Refuge. I've called them, the U.S. Department of the Wild Refuge, and they said this is just what they get, and they get a lot of phone calls. I mean, we can call, senators and representatives as well.
Would anybody have an objection to a formal letter being submitted?
Yeah, I think we should do it. And also, we have a lot of problems there at the refuge, and they need to be straightened out, and I'm not too happy with our being cut short.
Okay. And we'll... comments, questions? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And next thing, ERP software bid award.
This is a good one. Today I'm asking for the approval of the award of a contract to Tyler Technologies to purchase their Enterprise Resource Planning System, UNIS. As you're aware that this project has been going on for multiple years, it started about 2 years ago. September 2009, I asked if we could do a needs assessment on our technology needs. And then I presented it in June 2010. And with your approval, we moved forward with an integrated technology project. Then it took us 6 months with our departments to create 3,000 requirements that we needed in the new ERP system. We issued the RFP in February 2011. And then we received 5 responses, one being non-responsive. Then 10 committee members reviewed the 5 responses and created a list of 2 vendors to see demos. The evaluation was based off a technical approach, experience, and cost. We had 14 departments participate in the 3-day demos. And then after the demos, the committee voted to proceed to procure with Tyler Technologies. And for the month of May, we called references, we did more demos, and we did a site visit to Wicomico County. For the month of June, we did contract negotiations, which resulted in a $429,000 decrease in license and service cost, and they've also capped our maintenance fees for 10 years. Using Tyler's proposed timeline, we're going to do this in 3 phases. Phase 1 should be up and running June 30th, 2012. That's the general ledger and planning and zoning. The second phase should be up and running January 2013 with human resources and payroll. And the third one should be up about summer 2013 with tax billing, assessment, and utility billing. The cost of their contract, excluding the utility billing module at this time, will not exceed $1,229,974. And just to give you, that's not the entire cost of just the software. We have implementation costs in there, there's consulting costs, there's data conversion costs, there's some hardware in there, and then their travel as well. So I just want to give you a list of some things of why we picked Tyler. They scored the highest of all the vendors in technical approach and experience. They bid on all the modules that we requested. Their project team has experience in implementing systems similar to the size of Sussex County. They are a stable company with 1,300 public sector clients, with 200 of them being county governments. Their software is solely developed for governments. And excluding the one vendor that had no government experience but still promised they could do everything, Tyler scored the highest out of the 12 out of the 17 functional modules. Their quote proposed 3,904 hours. And again, we had the successful negotiations where they decreased their bid and they capped maintenance fees for 10 years. Now, with this system, I just want to list, it's a 87-page document, a scope of work, but after the system's up and running, some of the stuff we can do is provide a citizen self-service module that allows citizens to do an application inquiry, review permits, inspection details, and apply for a basic application online, manage the planning and zoning process for an application by creating plan review status codes and plan review comment codes, scan and store maps and blueprints, have a central property master file that will track use and zoning, setbacks, lot dimensions, and buildings construction detail. We'll be able to have a central location where citizens can come in and make payments, allow citizens to file for tax exemptions and credits online. We should be able to save in paper, printing, and postage costs, save in the cost of employees by eliminating the duplication of data entry, be able to respond to FOIA requests more efficiently. We can eliminate an independent software system that we currently have that solely is used to pull data out of the current system in Excel to analyze, and provide increased accountability for the by purchasing a software that is government-based. And again, asking for your support, along with the directors back there that have my back.
Any questions of council before we have a motion? You have a motion, I assume?
I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the recommended contract with Tyler Technologies to purchase their Munis ERP system and perform a gap fit analysis for utility billing for the contract cost not to exceed $1,229,974.
I'll make the motion.
I have a motion of Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips, to approve the awarding of the ERP software bid to Tyler Technologies as presented. Question.
You said the first phase would include the general ledger for planning and zoning.
And planning and zoning, yes.
I'm sorry, what?
And planning and zoning.
And planning
yeah,
and zoning.
Yeah, they're usually phase 3, but I understand the importance, and we moved it to phase 1.
Good, that's great.
So by June, this time next year, we should have planning and zoning up and running.
That'd be wonderful.
Any more questions? We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I vote yes. I would like to say that this is a really big deal, and Ms. Jennings has been shepherding this for the last couple of years with exceptional effort, and I feel confident that this is going to be a good thing for the county.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I also agree with Mr. Phillips. I think that Mrs. Jennings and your staff and the other directors have done an excellent job. A lot of work, I understand that, a lot of work. But I'm sure we're going to get something that we're going to be very happy with and proud of for a long time. So my vote's yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it is now past the time, so we'll have the 11 a.m. public hearing for the Beaver Dam Road expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. And as you indicated, this is the time and place.